This morning we continue walking the Roman road, looking through the book of Romans at some of the significant things that we learn, that we glean from these texts. And as we look today at Romans 4, we see faith and works in this balance. There are two sides to the road in Romans. And in chapter 4, it's faith and works using Abraham as a model. We talk about faith a lot. Faith in God, faith from God, faith as a gift, the faith that saves. Today we're going to talk about looking in this chapter at four things faith does. Four things faith does. First thing is faith creates trust. This morning I wasn't sure, early this morning, I wasn't sure if I could trust that my phone clock would automatically be updated. I had faith that it would, but there was this part in my back of my mind wondering about that trust. I heard the difference between faith and trust illustrated this way. There was a tightrope walker in the mid-1800s. His name was Charles Blondin, and he stretched a hemp rope across Niagara Falls and tightroped across Niagara Falls. He did it a few times. Trains were routed to bring people so they could see this happening. It was like 1848 or so. And so people were gathered around and crowds were there, and he made it across and kind of stepped into the crowd, and he said, "Do you believe that I can make it back?" And the person in the audience said, "Yes, I believe you can make that back." Then he said, "Well, will you hop on my back and go with me?" To which the person said, "No." He kept asking a few people, and finally he asked his manager, Henry Colcord, who got on his back. And the two of them made their way out onto the rope, walking across Niagara Falls on the back of the daredevil was his manager. They got out a ways on the rope when one of the guide wires that was connected to it got disconnected, broke or something. And so he had to have him get down and hold on. And he said, "You're no longer Colcord. You are now Blondin. As I move, you move. Don't try to balance yourself. Walk with me and go the way that I go." That is trust. Or stupidity, I don't know. I mean, Psalm 91 puts it this way: "I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." We trust in God by faith in him. Faith is a noun. Faith is something that you possess. Trust is a verb. It's something that you do. So there's a difference. They're kind of two sides of the same coin, faith and trust. Believe is in there as well, right? So faith creates trust, but trust can be hard. We trust other people, and sometimes other people let us down, right? How many told a secret to a friend when you were like this old? And before the end of that day, everybody on the playground knew your secret. Our trust gets violated. We trust people to do things, and they don't do it. They let us down. They do something different. They go back on their word. We hear promises that get broken. It happens often, and our trust gets compromised, and it becomes harder and harder to trust people. And it even makes it hard to trust God. Because our trust gets broken and violated so often, when we hear words like trust, it's like, I guard that. I protect that. It's hard to trust God when all the people that I've trusted have let me down. Trust is difficult. But we see here, talking about Abraham, Abraham believed God and trusted him. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, trusted Abraham. And they took steps of faith. We believe beyond reason. That's part of trusting in God. to believe beyond reason. When Abram was 99 years old, this is prior to his name change. This is Genesis 17 at verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. Abram gets called to go to the land in chapter 12. In chapter 17, we hear he's 99 years old, and just a couple verses later is when Abram is promised that he will be Abraham, and he will have a child, and he will be the father of nations, and he will receive these blessings. And wait, he's 99. Like, I'm just barely over half that age, and if someone came to me and said, oh, you're going to have a child, I'd be like, I don't think so. Believe beyond reason. Abram was 75 when he was called to go to the land. That goes beyond reason. Parts of the Bible we find hard to understand sometimes, difficult to believe. We wonder why a lot. Why did Abraham leave his home for some unknown place? Why did God choose the people he chose? The timing of events. We wonder how. We can be a lot like Nicodemus. In the gospel reading in John chapter 3, it's Jesus talking to Nicodemus there, and Nicodemus is like, wait, what? How? Why? How does this work? How can someone be born again? How is that possible? But faith says, yes, I believe. And faith goes beyond sight. This is the second thing faith does. Faith goes beyond sight. There's a lot of times when tightrope walkers, right, maybe you've seen them, they can walk back and forth on this skinny little rope. I don't know how. And then they'll put on the blindfold. Right? It's hard to tell maybe in that image that guy's blindfolded. Faith gives the assurance of things that are hoped for, beyond sight. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's Hebrews 11, verse 1, a great definition for faith. The conviction, the evidence, the NIV takes it, the evidence of things unseen. We believe in what we do not see by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 says, Abram couldn't see the promised land when God called him. Chapter 12, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. That's verse 1. Verse 4 says, so Abram went. He couldn't see, he didn't know, he didn't exactly know what to expect when he got there. But he went. He left the life he knew. He left the land of his family, his ancestors. He left the culture that was familiar. You go to a different place, you're going to experience different people, different languages, probably different foods, different climate, different everything. He was 75 years old when God said, Abram, I want you to do this. Would you be willing to do it? It would be hard, I think, to take that step, but Abram did it. And he's commended for that. And it's all based on the promise from God, which he could not yet see, a land, to be a great nation, to be a blessing. We can't see what God has in store for us either. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says this, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. That's a quote from Isaiah 64. We have not seen what God has in store for us. We have not seen Jesus, not in a way that where he's come to us and demonstrated everything that maybe we would want to know. He's tangible to us in the sacrament, but in a mysterious way. He comes to us in his word in a way where we can read, but there's still definitely a level of trust in who Jesus is and what he has in store for us. That is faith. Faith says, I hear of his love for the world, and I know that that love is for me. I know that Jesus died on the cross, and I believe that his death was for me. I believe that Jesus was the sacrifice to cover the sin of the world and my sin. This is whom I trust. This is where my faith is placed. And faith receives God's promises. That's the third thing. Faith receives God's promises. Romans 4:16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. We receive the promise by faith. Abram couldn't see the land, but went in that promise. He could look out at some point and kind of tell where he was going. But until he got there, he couldn't see it, but he was still receiving God's promise by faith. And God counts us righteous by faith. This is how Abram is commended. Verse 3 in Romans chapter 4, what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. That's a quote from Genesis 15. See, Abraham believed God. He took those steps of faith. He went toward the land. And Genesis 15 tells us it was credited to him as righteousness. He was right before God by faith. You ever wonder about Abraham's life in those first 75 years? Like, was Abraham a really good guy, and that's why God chose him? I mean, I can't imagine that Abraham was a really bad guy, right? But was he exceptional? Was he the perfect person? No, he wasn't. He was probably fairly average. I mean, if you look at the people that God chose, when we know their backstory, we know that God chose average people. Not the obvious choice, not the perfect leader, not the perfect person, not the most gifted, not the most equipped, not the brightest, not the most powerful, not the wealthiest. Like, God chose generally pretty regular people to do extraordinary things for him. And those regular people did extraordinary things because they believed God. Not in their own strength, not in their own power. Abraham is counted righteous by faith. He wasn't righteous, so God chose him. He was righteous because he believed God. Abraham is righteous by faith, not through what he'd done, not through works of the law. This is what Romans 4 makes clear, but because he followed. We believe in Jesus. Go down beyond the reading that we heard in verses 23 and 24. It says this, the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, that being Abraham. They weren't written for Abraham's sake alone, but also for ours. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. We are considered righteous by faith as well. You and I are right with God through faith in Jesus. Not because we've followed the law, not because we've lived perfectly, not in our own strength, not by our own deeds, but through faith in Jesus as Savior. Faith receives God's promises. And number four is faith is demonstrated by action. This happened this past week. I don't know if you heard about it. Nick Willenda, one of the flying Willendas, seven generations in this family of daredevil, crazy people. Goes back like 200 years in this family to do stunts like this. Wednesday night, it was televised. He went on a high wire over an active volcano somewhere in, I think, South America. I didn't even know this happened until I was going to use that opening illustration with the guy on the back. And so I was looking for an image for it, and up pops this story, and it's like 3 days ago. I'm like, what? What is this? This is what he did. Strung that wire across the above, this active volcano. Can you imagine the heat and the fumes and how the wind probably shifts over that? Now, this guy's done some high wire things before. He's crossed, you know, Times Square, I think, and Niagara Falls, and he's done some various things. Maybe the Grand Canyon. I don't know where he's been and where other family members. This name, Walenda, is, you know, famous for high wire and different things. He's already done a number of these things. So if he had said, I could do this, we could probably all say, yeah, you probably can. But faith is demonstrated by the action. Him acting it out, doing it, is what demonstrates the possibility, the reality. And he's quoted with this. He said this to the Associated Press. I will tell you that my first step I take will be a step of faith. Nick Walenda is a believer. His faith in God and faith in his own ability and faith in the people who stretch that wire across there and make the equipment and do all the things. It takes a step of faith to accomplish anything. Abram lived by faith. Actions make faith tangible. This is what Hebrews 11 say about Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. He left home for the land. He took Isaac to the mountain when he was told to sacrifice his son. Abraham's works aren't why he's considered righteous. If it were, faith would be of no value. We heard that in verse 14 from Romans 4. If an adherence to the law were to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. So what do we do? How do we live? In our Bible class today, we were talking about that. About what we do and how we live and how our faith meets the grace of God and transforms us to be more and more like Jesus. More and more the people that God desires us to be. Our lives are transformed. Our actions become more and more like Jesus. The speaker on the video said, so stop sinning. Yeah. And then do good things. Do good works. Demonstrating faith. Do good works. A life of faith serves others. We make decisions about our time, our resources, according to God's desires for us. And we have opportunities to serve our neighbors. Milpitas Cares is coming up. Second Harvest is here a couple times a month. There's respite events a couple times a year. There's ways that we can support and serve our neighbors as community, but also individually. When we see someone in need, we can live out our faith by serving others. That's what it looks like. To be transformed in our lives, in our hearts, by the power of the Spirit. And a life of faith is rewarding. Nick Walenda reached the other side of the volcano, by the way. And I'm sure stepping back on the soil was rewarding to be then connected again to his family after that experience. Our lives of faith are rewarding as we have an impact in the lives of other people. As we ourselves become transformed and live out that faith, it's its own reward. While we wait for what God has in store for us, which we understand and believe in the promise that we have a future in his presence. We live now, here, today, lives of transformed faith. Transformed lives of faith, maybe is better grammatically. Transformed lives of faith that demonstrate that we, yes, in fact, believe that the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob is our God, and we believe. And he calls us righteous. Amen.